not met the conditions to confront me. So therefore, you cannot confront me. The seven sons of Sceva, I command you to leave by the Jesus that Paul preaches. And the little boy said, you know what? Jesus, I know. The real Greek says, Jesus, I know. Paul, we've heard about. But who are you? You know what those demons were telling that boy? Those seven sons? You have not met the conditions to cast those out. And the Bible says they tore those seven boys and beat them to half to death because they tried to put around the spiritual forces having not met the conditions to do it. You got to meet the conditions to deal with this kind. And we're living in a generation of this kind. This, if you don't have, I don't have to make my case. You know, it's another kind of demon right here, man. Look around. Hey, people, look at people. People look strange. They act strange. They talk strange. You go to Walmart, they look strange. You go to the grocery store, they're strange. This is a weird, strange time, man. These are not normal people. The entertainment they look at is strange. Look at shows like Empire. That's a strange show. Those are freaks and weirdos on Empire. You look at Scandal and Glory in a Whore and make her a star. The singing stars, the people they are entertained by are strange people. This is a strange time. When a homosexual commanders in the military, you place a homosexual as the secretary of the army. This is a strange time. A man comes in town wearing a beanie, a long white dress, and walking around as the Pope, and the Pope is not even real. Don't even exist. And millions go out to see it. $48 million spent by Philadelphia alone to pay for the Pope's bill. Millions! And the Roman Empire is a multi-billion dollar empire. Multi-billion dollars wrapped up in the Vatican. And the guy stands there talking about, we should take care of the poor. Why don't y'all empty the coffers of the Vatican then? Why you gotta sell all that gold and junk in the Vatican and take care of the poor then? And the people standing there blind, woman just crying, talking about, I saw him and I touched him. This has been a life-changing experience. I saw the Pope. I actually touched the Pope. He was a few feet away from me, just breaking down, crying, almost just going into a convulsions about an old man in a beanie in a white dress. Don't know God, never met God, don't hear from God, know nothing about God, and yet he's walking around as the vicar of Christ, the spokesperson for God. Religion will make you lose your mind. They will kill me for what I'm saying. They will beat you to death about what I'm saying. They can't believe what I'm saying. So they can't even understand it. They can't fathom this not being true. Because when that religious demon gets into your mind, it'll refabricate your mind to make you believe a lie. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because they would not take heed to the truth, God shall send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Why, God? That they might be damned. Everybody who did not take pleasure in the truth. That's what the man said. He's sending the strong delusion. And folks are believing a lie. It's happening right before us in real time. With T.D. Jakes right there front and center. Rick Warren right there. Papa is coming to town. This is a historic occasion that the Pope has come to America. God is on the move. Man, this thing is driving people insane right before our very eyes. If you ever sanctified yourself a fast, if you ever come out from amongst them and touched out the unclean thing, you can't afford to have any allegiances or alliances to anybody now. You better see this thing is between you and Jesus now, man. This is a Jesus and me thing now. I don't know who else is going. I can't account for you. I got to make it in. When he says, look, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Jesus comes back in the New Testament and says, remember Lot's wife, he tells me, don't even look back, man. Kick the dust off your feet of the witness against her, man, and keep moving. Because it's going to be volatile from here on out. you can't see the amalgamation and the consolidation taking place, they're weaving this thing together, man, like a quilt. And you and I don't fit in. You don't fit into the quilt. And you better just settle that in your heart right now. And folks don't like me even bringing it up. I get all, you saw the emails and the stuff I get pushed at me, man. You think like, what did he say that was that big of a deal? You hit against religious spirits. Religious spirits are damnable. We posted on the organic gospel site a thing about the papal visitation and what's going on. And we told them, said, look, the way to counter all this religious foolishness is, let's raise up the body of Christ. Let's get Dunamis Tabernacle put together, Mission 288, 2,778 people giving $288. Well, he's more fruitful and he's nicer than you who can only see evil about everything. That's the responses you get. The Pope is a man of God. What have you done for society? I mean, you're looking at it like, are you for real? You really believe that? I wouldn't give 10 cents to you devils. What you give to the Roman Catholic Church, that ain't the devil. But this is the devil. Religion is a monster. It will drive you out of your senses. I mean, you think, when I'm saying right now, you say, okay, 2,000 people, 200 votes. We should have tomorrow morning. What's that? Look at the resistance. What could we possibly be doing that is so evil? Why can't we do what World Changes do? Because we don't preach what World Changes preaches. There's nothing in it for you. There's no skin in the game. I make no promises of getting anything back. What I can promise you is you got to go into war and you might not come back. That's my promise to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go. But no, man, I like more, but I like that seed faith thing. That sounds better. Give 100, get back 10,000. That sounds better to me. That's what's got them hung up. They want something back out of the deal. What you need to want from the deal is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to end this God-forsaken wasteland and to put an end to a failed human tragedy. Sickness, disease, infirmity, insanity, murder, mayhem. You want to prolong this? That's crazy. You should be fighting and living to live again. And there's no permanence here. It's temporary. I'm not here for this. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm living to live again. I'm not living for the here and now. This is going to end in a tragedy according to the Bible. It's going to end with the whole place being burned out of existence. There is no permanence. Can't you see every shooting star that has ever come to preeminence in society is dead and gone? John Kennedy is an answer. John Kennedy is dead. Marilyn Monroe is a sex goddess. You know Marilyn Monroe is dead. I just love Tupac. Tupac is dead. Biggie Smalls, now he can rap. Biggie Smalls is dead. You know, Houston was Houston had a voice of voices. A voice you won't hear in 100 years. Whitney Houston is dead. Michael Jackson was the king of pop. He's dead. Elvis was the king of rock. He's dead. There's no hope here. The Bible says you have hope only in this life. You're of all men most miserable. You're miserable. Excuse me. And you think there's some permanence here, which in and of itself is a delusion. There is no permanence. So my thing is, okay, look, this is a failed human tragedy. It's not going to work. The thing is damned. Why not shift all effort to go into the world and end this? Let's stop trying to build churches and resources. See, people get offended because they have reacted to the wrong. So any attempt to establish a base camp for the saints to do the work of the ministry is resisted because, oh, that's just nothing but another crap, no dollar. That's another Potter's house of T.D. Jakes.
And that dude is trying to take y'all's money to live hound the hog. And the next thing you're going to see him doing is driving down the street in a Bentley with a bunch of folk under his sway. Know why that won't happen? Know why it can't happen? Because the message don't allow it to happen. The message ain't the same. See, the message is telling you, you're going to die. This is a last push right here. This is a Salvation Army that's going out with no guarantee to come back. It's the Normandy invasion. One thing about going in on Normandy, there ain't no guarantee you're coming back from this invasion. This is the final conflict. See, all these other false things promise you stuff. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Fred Price, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Myers, you name them, T.D. Jakes, everybody's talking about motivation, your best life now, your emotions, how to have a better life, all kinds of. T.D. Jakes turned out inspirational, motivational, but one after another, have nothing to do with the Lord. How to be successful in business and that kind of stuff. That's not what we major in. That stuff there is not part of the deal. We're forging an army full of the Holy Ghost to save souls from a burning hell. That's it. And it's done under austere conditions. Everything's not going to be nice. Some places you're going to sleep with this nasty and stinking. You're going to eat stuff sometimes that you're going to turn your nose up and hold your nose to eat it. But he said you eat or drink any of that thing, it won't harm you. That's your safeguard. He said, Lord, I will do anything for you. And the Lord says, son, I would have you go to India to preach to this village in the southern part of India. He said, yes, Lord. Now you fly to India, you got the plane. You go to the village, right? You got the preacher? Preacher, don't stand over there. There are anacondas out here, and they come out at night. Now that tent you stand in, they've been known to come in that tent at night. Now the anacondas, they can grow about 30 feet long. And when you go out there preaching and you walk around at night, you better be careful because there's all kinds of snakes and stuff. And you know, I think it's a 15-foot, this is an alligator or a crocodile, one or the other, in that swamp by your tent. And at night, they come out too sometimes, honey. But I'll do anything for the Lord. This stuff ain't pretty, man. This American westernized version of the gospel is a lie. You got to live in austere conditions. And the apostle says, I can be content with and without. I can have and I can have not. I'm wherewithal content because I got Jesus Christ in my soul to sanctify me. That's what it's all about. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. We're dealing with the gifts of healing. The gifts, with an S on it, of healing. The gifts of healing. And now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come as a Greek philosopher, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit with a capital S, and of power, dunamis. Our whole format for the ministry is to establish a power tabernacle. That's why we call it dunamis. It means a place of God's power. I didn't come with words. I didn't come talking to you. I came demonstrating the Spirit and power. Why, Paul? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom, the philosophy of men, but in the demonstrated power of God. That's what we're coming to, man. Folks are not going to believe by talking. You can forget it. It won't work. You got to have some power. You got to have demonstrated power to back up proclamation. They will hate what you say. They'll despise what you do. See,
Talking is only 50% of the deal. Because they can debate talking. So if you're just a philosopher, I say, you say, point A, point B, thesis, antithesis, your view, my point of view, the way you see it, the way I see it. Really, the church without power is as valid as being a Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist. There's no separation. That's why the world stands up so boldly now to the church. You all can't do anything about anything, so you're just like me. Why should I believe in your Jesus when there's nothing to convince me one way or the other that he exists? The gospel puts the proof on us. You can't see the compelling power of the gospel is to get to some place where we demonstrate this thing. You don't believe it? Look at Mark chapter 16. Last scripture to wrap it up, Mark chapter 16. You say, I'm a believer. You say, I'm born again. I believe the gospel. I believe everything about the gospel. Okay, let's read Mark chapter 16 by way of live stream. Don't turn the internet off now. You're a believer, right? Let's examine whether or not you're a believer. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Said unto everybody, then all disciples, everybody go. Not sit in church in theater style sitting looking at somebody preaching. Go. How can anything follow you if you don't go? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And Jesus speaking, you're a believer, right? You're a believer. You say you're a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord's working with them, and confirming what? The word with signs following them. Amen. So therefore, they had to be going for the signs to follow. You had to be moving and signs following you. Now watch this. I contend that those four sequential signs operating here are progressive signs. What's the first one? Cast out devils. You got to clean the tabernacle, clean the temple. What's the second one? The Holy Ghost baptism, and you speak in tongues after you move the debris that disallows you. You eat or drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. You got no way of knowing sitting right here. If you take a Tylenol and somebody that put cyanide in it, you go to a restaurant, you don't know what's in that food. A lot of that is unconscious ingestion. You don't know what people are putting in this stuff. You go to a restaurant, they had a guy at Burger King putting semen in the mayonnaise. Masturbating and putting the semen in the mayonnaise and mixing it in. And folk eating it. Now you, can I have two waffles to go, please? And an order of fries. You don't know what's in this stuff, man. Don't you know we're walking in the midst of lunatics, insane people who think of all kinds of stuff to do? I got AIDS, and I got my blood, and I'm pointing to catch you, mixing it in. And you eat AIDS and your McDonald's burger. I got rid of all fast food eating. Man. All that's gone. Nobody eating out of eating. I just eliminated that. You were living in an insane asylum. You never know what a person is doing. But Jesus says, if you eat or drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you, the believer. Not everybody, you, the believer. But here's what I want to get to right here. The gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. The game changer is laying hands on the sick and they recover. Because that one is the one that's going to erupt in an atomic explosion. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why it's going to shake everything up. That is uncontrollable power that will impact the world. Guy comes back from Iraq. Four limbs cut off in one. You lay hands on him and two arms and two legs grow back out. And everybody in his family knew it. All his buddies from the war knew it. It has a rippling effect through society. You see how Jesus had withered hand and the hand was restored right there on the spot? That had a rippling effect. Blind man, born that way, you know, from his mother's womb. Sight restored. Everybody in the whole village knew it. Lazarus is dead 4 days. He's getting up. That ripples. Ripples through the community. That divine healing is going to make the church a target. Why? The pharmaceutical companies last year made $85 billion. The top 20 hospitals in this country, just the top 20 alone, grossed $120 billion last year. The average income for a primary care physician is $195,000 a year. Specialists, the average income is $284,000 a year. Plastic surgeons can make up to $500,000 a year now because everybody wants to get booty and breast implants. Nose jobs, they're making a killing plastic surgery. Some of them are becoming millionaires from plastic surgery. RNs make, on average, the mean income is $70,000 a year for an RN. Medical device manufacturers, the ones who make prosthetic devices, $44 billion last year. And you healing the sick? That's just the medical. It's a lot of rippling effects now in people being sick. There's a whole lot of stuff, you know, hospices, caretakers, dialysis clinics, that's a good one. And people got kidney failure, we all know. The Kidney Foundation, the Cancer Institute, they're making a multi-trillion dollar impact on society through sickness. What's one of the causes of sickness? Demons in folk. You didn't read it? Can't you see that there's some parallel to sick bodies that come from demonic habitation? You know why that is? Because the demon is not designed to live with a human. When they come into a human, they cause dysfunctionalities to occur in your body, and they make you sick. Because your body was not programmed to house a demon. Your body should hold the human spirit and God's spirit. That's it. God's spirit in company with your spirit should live inside of you. And that's what governs your body. But when a demon is interspersed inside of you, he's called a what? An unclean spirit. He's bringing in defiling elements that are shutting down systems that can't accommodate. Because he's nasty, he's making you nasty inside, and he's shutting down systems, heart attacks, strokes, blood diseases, cancers. All this stuff is because demons are eroding away at the human fabric inside of you. So you come along, you say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a mountainous place and just live up in this mountain cave like a hermit until God endowed him with power. Notice how nobody got power in the Bible until they went away and came back. Don't nobody just stand there and get power. You got to go away. You go away to get power. And then you return in the power of the Spirit. Jesus went to the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, and fasted to pray. The Bible says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. But when he came back in the power of the Spirit. You got to go away and come back to get power. You don't find anybody manifested in God's economy in the Bible. Moses was raised in Egypt for 40 years. Moses was sent away to the wilderness for 40 years, and he came back in the power of the Spirit for 40 years to lead those folk out of captivity. Elijah went away and came back and showed himself to Ahab. You don't get power until you go away and come back. Why? Because you walk in resurrected power. You got to go away to do what? To die. You go away to die. You sell your own death. I'm setting myself in alignment with God's word. I'm sanctifying myself for one reason. I'm sanctifying myself to die. And the Bible calls God who? The God who resurrects the dead. That's how you get Holy Ghost power. That's how you get healing power. That's how you get the real virtue to impact this world. Man, these are the gifts of healing flowing through resurrected life because you want a way to die. Jesus, the Son of God, was born and he had to sanctify himself. He got the Holy Ghost baptism. See the progression? He was in his body as a living sacrifice. The Holy Ghost came upon him. The Holy Ghost took him into the wilderness for what? He had to leave his life with Mary and Joseph behind. The Holy Ghost baptism is a rite of passage. It's moving you away from what you were born as, and it's changing you into another type of person. You're coming back in the power of the Spirit. You were just born a man or a woman, but you're going to become a manifested Son of God. But to do so, you have to be put to death and resurrected. The Bible calls people who try to delay this and stop this what? Enemies of the cross. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. What do they mind, the Bible says? They mind earthly things. They don't want you to be crucified. Christ don't want you crucified because you can see him there. Then he won't give him your money. They make you soulish. They make you fleshly. They make you people that won't die to self. And you just circle in the wilderness talking about yourself all day long and other folks and circumstances. You can become a silly woman sitting in church. I've told more guys than the law allows. He come to me talking about their wife. I said, man, don't talk to me about no woman stuff. I don't talk to no men about no women. Well, my wife, I don't care about, look, man. I don't talk to any men about any women. You're the one that's got the authority. Maisha did an article the other week about how God did not deal with Eve. He only dealt with Satan and Adam. Because they were given what? Authority. They had responsibility. My wife, what a woman say. I tell you, you don't want to sit in church and become a silly woman. Caught up in silly woman mess. I don't even talk to my wife about women. I don't want to have nothing about no women talking about. I don't care what they talk about. This is a military affair. I'm here to seek and destroy an enemy. I don't care nothing about the sideshows and the sidebar issues. I'm here to hunt down the devil like a dog, seek him out and destroy him. Utterly destroy him. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. Not interested in that sideboard gibberish. This is a military affair, and it's designed for militant people who have already processed the fact I'm in an army, a salvation army, and I'm here to fight and win a war. That's why all rewards and revelation in the seven churches are given to whom? The overcomer. To him that overcometh will I give. He says over and over again, what must you overcome? The world, your flesh, and the devil. It don't matter about numbers. Jesus got 12 guys. And he let it expand from there. It's geometric progression. You get 12 guys full of the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about it, man. Just put them in there and see it seed form. Watch it expand all by itself. Life begets life. If you sit here and you don't see this ever increasing faith taking place in you, where the borders are expanding, and you're seeing the power expanding and people are being affected and affected by it, you don't have it. You don't have it. Every seed produces after its own kind. Organic power is embedded in the church. God's not banking his future on us. He's not banking the destiny of the church on us. He knows he planted a seed. And that's the seed does what? Dies. It cannot bring forth life. That's why the Son of God came and died, because he was planting a seed. He was inseminating the church. Now, out of his loins, you're going to see the church now grow. He's going to always have a generation. God always have a ram in the bush. He's always got somebody making up the church. He's never left without somebody. Notice how God was almost at his wit's end, Abraham. I'll get Abraham down there in the earth to call these. I'll get this boy. and establish a covenant, not with all of them, with him. If I can get a guy, just one guy, if I can get a hold of one guy, man, this whole world is thinking I'm evil continually. I'm going to destroy this whole mess. You know what? But Noah, he's a righteous man. I'm not going to establish a covenant with them. I'm going to establish a covenant with him. That's why they're called the Abrahamic covenant, the Noahic covenant. Down in Egypt, no deliverer. I'm going to have a boy conceived and born and grow that boy organically. And I'm going to make him the deliverer. Moses, you call it the Mosaic covenant. He didn't make it with them. He made that agreement with him. I need a prophet. Somebody speak to the nation. I got no prophet in hand. I get a hold of Hannah. I get her. And Samuel will be born from a barren woman. The Bible calls him a root out of dry ground. That's what Jesus is. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's organic growth. He got a hold of Hannah, had Samuel, and gave Samuel back to the Lord. And Samuel went away from Hannah. You remember the story? He went and stayed with who? Eli, who had those two vagabond sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And notice how the boy's condition to do what? Hear from God himself. He come and call him, Samuel. He go run to Eli. Eli, you just call me? Boy, I didn't call you. Boy, go and make it in the sleep. God called him again at night. Samuel! Eli, I knew you called me. What? I didn't call you, boy. Get out of my room now because I'm trying to get some rest. God called him again. Samuel! Eli, I perceive that the Lord is trying to get a hold of you, boy. You don't need to talk to me now, boy. When he calls you again, you just ask him, thy servant heareth. That's when you're going to get your destiny right there. When you finally hear for yourself and stop trying to filter yourself through a preacher or trying to hang around folks or trying to get a word from some prophetess, buddy, you're on the right track. I'm here to preach you to me. Forget me. You need to get to God. And you only do it when you go away. Because when you go away, then you have an ability to come back in the power of the Spirit. The gifts of healing, that manifested gift is just like Moses when he got to those lights. Notice how the magician played with him side by side, tit for tat. But what happened? They kept going down the different manifestations of power. The frogs in the land, the water turned to blood, the hailstones burning. But after he got to that lights, I believe that lights, that one. And the magician said, what? That's the name of God right there. We can do that. So the devil matches the church tick for tack. But my contention is this. You get to the gift of healing. That joke can't stop that. You can't stop a guy's arm from going back out of him, man. And now you can hear what I'm telling you. Jesus is the only way. Repent or perish. This is the day that the Lord has made. You better rejoice and be glad in it. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the miracles I perform is not by my power, but I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm doing this in his name and his stead. And this man who you see here that's been made whole has been made whole in his name, the man by the gate called Beautiful. All you do is transfer the glory. All God is asking from us is this. Don't take my glory. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm going to use you and I'm going to empower you. It's going to be some power flowing through you like an atomic bomb. But when that power comes and you get responses from people, don't be trying to bathe in my glory. Just transfer the glory to the Lord. That's all you got to do. It's the Lord. The Lord did this. Jesus Christ has done this. Magnify Jesus Christ. Keep him on the forefront. And man, all power that pertains to God and life and godliness will flow through you like a river. You will be amazed. You know what? God will have you out there so deep. You will be in awe of what's happening through you. It'll come through you and you'll be like, I can't believe this. That guy had no eyes. It was gouged out of his head in a mining accident. And I'm watching his eyes form up in his head.
this is amazing. While your hands is on the guy, you looking at his eyes, and this is amazing. This really happened. It ain't, see, faith ain't about you having all this bold belief. Faith is you can hear and you just obey. Now what happens after that, it amazes you. See, signs and wonders means signs and amazement. It's like, this really happened. And you stand there and using you to do it. But all you got to do is stay low. Go right back to the cave. Back to the altar. And shut your mouth and just stay low. Stay low. This is going to be a season of low running. But I used to tell you back in the hood, when y'all had stole something, stop all that high running, man. You got the low run through it. Low run, man, because the shoe levels, man. Now the low run, you're going to get killed out here, man, when we'll be out here doing stuff. You got to know how to, you got to stay low. You got to decrease to allow them to increase. This thing is about depreciation first to be appreciated. You got to go down to go up. You got to sanctify yourself fast and seek the Lord for you. Because when the church begins to raise up and you got multitudes of vessels operating in a certain flow of the power of God and you are not ready, you can't go. It's going to offend you. You're going to be out here with people who are not studying you. They don't care about you. They're on a mission from God and they're going forth to do a job and perform exploits. And you still talking about somebody said something about me. And you see how they were looking at me all crazy at church. And I don't think they like me. And all that right there, man. You can't go. Flesh stinks. Flesh can't go. We don't preach it to the masses. Do you not know if people contact me and say, I don't like what you said, I wasn't even talking to them. I wasn't even talking to you. I'm talking to the remnant. Some messages and messengers are sent to the remnant. They're not talking to the religious body. I'm talking to the remnant. It's only a small minority that will pay the price for this. That's why I said, before you begin this thing, count the cost to see if you have sufficient enough to finish. You got to have this inner drive. It's got to be a zeal in you according to knowledge. It's got to be birthed in you by the Holy Ghost. You know what? I'm going to do this. See, some people are just hearers, but not doers. Some people will take words to heart and say, you know what? I'm going to go home now. I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get my physical body right. I'm going to get my soul right and my spirit right. I'm going to work in every part of me. I'm going to feed my spirit, the word of God. I'm going to get my soul in a deep Bible study and get knowledge of God. I'm going to exercise my body to get in shape because it's going to be some time. I got to walk long distances in this. I got to be physically fit to do it. I'm going to get myself ready, spirit, soul, and body for this thing. I'm going out here with this thing. I don't know who else. I don't know about no we. I don't know about them and they. I'm going away so I can come back in the power of the spirit. The gifts of healing is a game changer. You are progressively going somewhere you just don't know. But now God has gotten you to this place. And the Bible says your time, the times of ignorance in your life, God will wink at it. Meaning he'll shut his eyes to it. Then when he opens his eyes, what does he do? I'm calling everybody to repent. Turn now. You got to change now. I put up with you through long suffering for a long time, but now you got to change. The gifts of healing will make this world despise Christ. The people will come to him to be saved. But guess what? You begin to empty hospitals. You begin to heal people with cancer and all kinds of dive off diseases. They're going to see what flowing away from them. Money. Money, man. We make too much money for the medical profession. And they really doing something now. This is really happening. And the people are in a frenzy. Frenetic energy comes alive when the gifts are operating. I mean, the real gifts. When they're really on for real and popping. Man, it gets you find the environment begin to reverberate because things are really happening. There's a difference between theorizing about God and conceptualizing about God and something really going down for real. Lazarus really got up out of a grave. What was the world's response? Kill Jesus and kill Lazarus. Don't just kill the man that did it, kill the evidence that it was done. This thing is about to go somewhere, I'm telling you.
If you see the devil marshaling his forces to come together and consolidate and amalgamate, you know the thing is at hand. Here's the telltale sign of the Bible. You know, the Bible says that Pontius Pilate and Herod hated each other. They hated each other. But when it came to killing Jesus, guess what? The Bible says that same day they became friends. The world amalgamates, they consolidate, even if they hate each other, when there's a common threat, a common enemy. You think black folk don't like white folk? Both folk don't like Jesus.
Yeah.
See, you have a black racist and a white racist. And you bring Jesus into the equation, neither one of them like you. That's why you can't side with racial groups. You try to side with a black lost person, they don't like you because they're not saved. So how can the black man be God's chosen people if they don't even like Jesus? And you trying to be black above being a Christian and being saved. You're crazy. I don't care if you call them Yahushua way, Yahweh way, you way, your way, my way, your way, Finland, or whatever you're trying to call it. Look, man, stop. You better come to Jesus and get full of the Holy Ghost and be prepared for a demonstration of power. But to get that power, you got to go away. You got to go away and come back in the power of the Spirit. The gifts of healing. The world will hate it. The Bible says we receive the Spirit that the world cannot receive. That's traumatic. That's dramatic. The world can't receive this. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up and be accounted worthy to escape all the things coming on this earth. The gifts of healing. We need to covet it. The Bible says to covet earnestly the best gift. You need to make that a targeted prayer. God, endow me with the gifts of healing. Along with the other eight gifts, let me be a package deal that carries the gifts as the Spirit will. Make that a prayer. Don't just talk about it. Don't just theorize about it and fantasize. Make it a targeted prayer. If you're going to pour out power, pour it out through me. I don't want to hear about this, God. I don't want to hear about no healer. I want to be participating in it. Make me a vessel. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, your first preoccupation in Christ should be seeking the Holy Ghost baptism with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. These signs shall follow them that believe. Forget the theories, forget conjecture, forget what they told you about it. You need to seek God for the Holy Ghost baptism because you're on a quest for demonstrated power. Cast out devils, speak with new tongues, eat or drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Lay hands on the sick, they recover. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, not man. Forget what people say about it, believe what the Master said about it. There are nine gifts in this Bible. There are nine fruit of the Spirit in this Bible. You want God to do what? Organically form the fruit of? So that the gifts of the Spirit can rest on the nature change. You possess the nature of the Lamb, and the nature of the Lamb possesses you. The power will rest on that nature. But it's got to be resurrected in you. You got to go away and let it die. There are arduous days and nights of fasting and prayer to bring this thing to fruition. You're cultivating. You're mowing through you. You're turning over. And the Bible calls it breaking up fallow ground to be able to receive the engrafted word. The engrafted word received will organically transform you as it grows. All you got to do is get the conditions right for the word to grow in you, and the growth process will transform you. Don't think, don't try to be and try to be and try to do. Just take in that engrafted word and let it firmly settle down in you. The Bible calls it settling on good soil in Matthew 13. It fell on good soil, and just let it grow. How does it grow? You keep the conditions right to give growth potential free reign. Just keep it right. Just keep it watered. Keep it nurtured. Just feed it. Fertilize it. It will grow. And as it grows, it will transform you all by itself. It ain't about religious effort and works and laws. It's about organic growth. We wrote a book here in the back of the room here, The Organic Gospel. Organic growth is God's ace. is what he's depending on, not our effort. Organic transformation through growth. One life has to die to allow the other life to live. If you listen by way of live stream, stop fooling around with religion. Forget the internet and Facebook and all that dialogue and all those diatribes going back and forth about dogma and doctrine and debates. Get to the Lord and let him make you over into a new vessel fit for him to use. It's all about organic life. The gifts of healing, that should be a powerful demonstration of God's authority in the church. When Jesus noted four things that were going to sign off on a believer, all the other eight gifts he didn't name. He got to the gifts of healing. He mentioned tongues, but the tongues in the gifts are not talking about your praying in tongues to God. Tongues and interpretation of tongues under the gifts are the tongues you hear in church that are interpreted in church. In the formal meeting of God, you hear somebody give a message in tongues. He says there should be an interpreter present to interpret what was said, not to confuse the people who are just coming in for the first time, the unbelievers. These are gifts that operate under the confines of the body of Christ, the gifts of the Spirit. But your prayer language is what Jesus is talking about when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost in Mark chapter 16. You'll speak with new tongues. This thing is all about change. It's all about transformation. It's all about progression to another place. Don't keep talking to people about the same old carnal junk. Why would you want to be tomorrow what you are today in God's economy when you can see the world ending in real time? You see the world, you're home and turn on CNN and you'll see the Pope getting on a plane headed back to the Vatican, having ended his historic visit to America. And you can't tell me one thing he said of any benefit to anybody. We should all be more tolerant. And this is the day of love for all humanity. Our Muslim brothers, our Hindu brothers, our Buddhist brothers, as well as our Christian brothers, shall all come together under this universal blanket of peace. And we will move into a new world order, establishing a universal brotherhood where all men are equal and all men are loved. We don't want to have any predispositions of our people to condemn them or judge them. We are all God's children. And the world just applauds when things are real. Antichrist. This is the false prophet in real time. You know what's coming next. The false prophet shines a spotlight on the man of sin. That joker coming down the aisle right now. He's back behind the curtain right now. The last, you know, a play is done at what? Huh?
Scenes.
Scenes. You got different scenes in a play. Scene one, scene two, act one, act two. So he's the last scene in the play. He's out of the dressing room. He's standing in the corridor behind the stage, behind the curtain, getting his tuxedo right, you know, getting everything dressed up. And now the star of the show steps out behind the curtain, the Antichrist. And the false prophet has already conditioned people to do what?
Receive
and worship. They do it in church through personality worship. While you're a devotee of T.D. Jakes and Creflo, your mind is already programmed to receive the Antichrist. Why? Because you worship a man instead of Christ. You're already programmed to receive the man of sin. There's only one last thing that has to be done for the man of sin to be received. You know what it is? Huh?
The church got to be
moved. All you got to do now is collapse the economy. Because he's a restorer. See, he's going to come and answer all your problems. I don't have food on my table. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know the gas that is. See how the gas almost $1.85 or something crazy. Gas is plummeting. Falling. But guess what? That has reverberations around the world. It sounds good. The gas price is going down. But in the Middle East, it ain't good news. That's how they've been becoming multi-billionaires. They're not trillionaires over there with their gas, man.
Everything is all artificial. Nothing is real. Everything is make believe. Now they turn that gas around and spike it again and take it up to about $5 a gallon. Now that $4 you had or $4.20 you had in your pocket got to go into the gas tank, man. See, they just, these jokers are ingenious, man. They'll make you believe you're more prosperous by putting more money in your pocket because they just lower the prices artificially. You think, I'm doing pretty good. But wait till that stuff spike again. Wait till the cost of food goes up. Now, the essentials of life, if you control those essentials, you can control the people. Take the food up, take the gas up, take the utility prices up. Everything you have to pay, discretionary income is going to shrink. Now, you used to go out to dinner every once in a while. Put some on that grill. Yeah. If we can afford some charcoal. I'm getting the money about some charcoal. See, they can take it away and give it. That's why you can't depend on this. It's all run by magicians. It's a matrix. The Antichrist is next on the scene. The false prophet is making his rounds. He's going from nation to nation. The ecumenical movement signs off on the false prophet. It's not just the Roman Catholic Church. It's an ecumenical movement that encompasses all religions. That's the real thing that makes it a harder. He'll take everything inside of it and amalgamate it all, including Protestant religion. Rick Warren calls the Pope the Holy Father. T.D. Jakes is right there smiling in his face as a man of God. That amalgamation is what vents the hatred toward us because we won't buy into the ecumenical amalgamation of all these religions. It's the Antichrist. That force is not loosed on us because we're not seen as a threat. But the gifts of healing is a game changer. We can't control this. We can't stop it. We got to kill them now. We got to kill them because if we don't, what was the claim they made? The whole world is following after him. And as they said, they're turning the world upside down. This is coming like a freight train. Don't fall prey to mentally ascending to it and knowing about it. And making the mistake of thinking that what I'm saying is just another guy talking. This ain't the same thing. You've gotten into something this time that's real. And you better see this thing through this time. Because there is no plan B. Ask God to pour his power through you and have you a vessel to carry the gifts of healing. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, anoint these words and quicken them. Make them alive to the hearers. Bring out a whole new creation, a new kinds of people. To walk this thing out and live it out. God, let the power of the Holy Ghost come upon us. Heal the sick. Cast out demons that cause infirmity and sickness. Raise up the dead. Folks who have been brought down to the bowels of hell. The devil has been venting everything against them to destroy them. God, have a merciful intervention take place. And bring the body out of Egypt. Bring it out of Babylonian captivity. Bring it back alive from the dead. And then use vessels that you have made fit for you to use to display your son, Jesus Christ, to the world. One last push, God. One last push to wrap this up. And when you do it, we'll be careful to give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's going to wrap it up for today. Remember, this time next week, we'll be in the coming out of the mountains, howling out the mountains like madmen, coming down the east side, the leeward side of the mountain, yelling and screaming, running. Hey, all bets off at that point. Whatever happens, happens. Someplace, God's going to drop that atomic bomb, and when it blows, what condition will you be in? You might just tap into some people that mean business here somewhere. And this thing gonna blow up. Then what will you do when you're not ready? You better make yourself ready. The Bible says the time of the bridegroom has come and the bride has made herself ready. You better be ready because you never know with God what might just happen tomorrow morning. And if I'm not ready, the thing might go off. So next week we'll be in the mountains coming back Sunday morning to service.
Also remember Dunamis Tabernacle, mission 288, $288 by 2,778 people contributing to the cause. www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate to give. Also remember nightly prayer, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1-805-399-1000, 1-805-399-1000, access code 409-367, 409-367. And last thing, May 27th through the 29th next year, May 27th through 29th, 2016, the Soldiers of Light Conference here in Atlanta. Registration will be coming online here in this week to 10 days. Time to register now. All the details will be at our website, www.omegaministries.org. It's time to move to another place in God. We'll see you back here next week after the Man Up Mountain meeting. Keep that meeting in prayer. We got four more days left on this fast. It's time to really crank it up and bombard heaven for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Be blessed. Have a good week. And stay out of that crazy matrix.